Welcome to Delightfully Dysfunctional, a podcast about navigating the emotions of the human condition and the challenges that come with it. I'm Kaylani Persian Mason, a psychotherapist and life coach with James Timmons and Ever Curious Human. This is not a replacement for mental health therapy. Please seek out mental health care if that's what you're needing. This is an opportunity for self-healers to dive deep and understand more about themselves.
I'm gonna do it.
Oh. All right,
I feel
boy.
Like I've edited. I've edited 58. Okay. I should have it down by now. I'm going to go for it. If I suck, then you can take it back over. Okay. Welcome back to Delightfully Dysfunctional. I am your host James and my co-host Kaylani.
Or would it be
you're the host and I'm the co-host? It feels weird calling myself the host. I guess co-host is like...
I guess I come up with the theme, but you can just say, I'm James and this is Kaylani. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I'm James.
Does this count as you doing it well? Or are you handing the baton over now?
We're going to keep what we're doing because it's dysfunctional.
Yeah. Okay.
But go. I think I also just failed. I don't think that we should...
No, I'd give you like a C+.
Okay.
That's passing.
That would be the best grade I've ever gotten.
All right.
Okay, so how are you, Kaylani? I was going to call you just K.
That was so inauthentic.
Does anyone call you just K?
No, Zach tells me that he doesn't like it. And when I go to a coffee shop, a lot of times I'll say that my name is like, just K.
Okay.
And he, because it's just easier. But it's actually more fun now to say Kaylani and just be really like excited about whatever way they spell it because it's interesting.
Well, like every person that I know, I'll just kind of organically come up with a nickname. Mm. Just the way it just rolls off my tongue. Oh. And yours is K. I always want to call you K, but not just the letter K, but because the first half of your name is Kaylani. Yeah.
My initials used to be KK, so that was like a family nickname. Can I call you KK? Uh-huh. It was so funny. My friend Charlie once, I guess he was trying to guess my middle name, and for whatever reason, he thought it was Kim Y, and I'm like, you thought my parents would give me initials KKK? Like, that would be super messed up.
Oh, because your maiden name was Coochie with a K.
Yeah, Coochie with a K.
KKK. That would be... Kaylani Kim Y?
Kaylani Kim Y Coochie was the name that he bestowed upon
that's
me.
That's a
that
cool name.
That's not my middle name.
Okay. Yeah. What is it? Can I guess it?
Yeah.
Is it Anne?
No, but it's just as bland.
Okay. Lynn?
No.
Marie?
You're done. No. Nicole?
Okay. That's got a little more pep than the three I just guessed.
Well, I mean, it's not like Kaylani or Coochie. That really...
Kaylani Cole. Ooh, I like that.
Hmm.
K. Cole.
My mommy always told me that Kaylani meant sent from heaven. I think it means like revered heavens or something like that. No, or glorious leader.
I think it's the Hawaiian god of bowels. I'm just kidding. I made that up.
Yeah, he did. Oh my god.
Wouldn't that be awful if I was correct? Yeah, no, okay.
Well, James means poopy pants, so there.
I pooped my pants yesterday.
Oh, I hope not.
I'm dead serious. I'll edit that out. I sharted.
You can't. I just burped in the mic. Edit that out.
Oh, gosh. We're having a moment. A really gross moment.
Was this related to CrossFit? Because you need to stop.
I was just earnestly peeing, and I went to toot.
And it wasn't just a toot.
What are we talking about today?
I don't know how to segue that.
There's no way to segue that. I just did. I just segued it.
Oh, God. Okay. Let me come back to this moment before poop became a part of it.
Here's how we can segue. We're talking about authenticity. And what I just shared was very authentic.
Authentic AF.
Yeah.
Have you ever talked about sharding your pants? I didn't think so.
No.
Are you even authentic?
I'm setting the standard that we should all live by as far as authenticity.
Well, authenticity does include vulnerability. There's the segue. Found it.
Yeah. So comment, write in the comments how a time of where you pooped your pants.
Yeah, how are your bowels today?
Yeah.
Let us
know. Are they loose? Loosey-goosey?
Yeah, be vulnerable and authentic.
Yeah.
God. Or don't. Some things are meant to be private.
Yeah.
Yeah, authenticity. Authenticity is the topic today. Boy, I'm trying to remember even anything about why. I was thinking about this because I think so often it's a common feeling to feel as though we're either too much or not enough.
Okay.
I don't know if you would relate to that. You're kind of like...
I'm a little too much.
You're just like, okay, do you ever feel too much? Because you're also like kind of own your too muchness with some gusto, I'd say.
Thank you. Well, no, I do feel like I'm too... Like recently, because I shared like the worst thing I'd ever done openly, even on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell everyone, it's like my opener. But then after a while, I was kind of like, do people really need to know that about me? Mm. Like I'm sort of jeopardizing my own privacy. But a lot of it was just like I was done giving a fuck, you know? And so I was like overcompensating. I was like overcorrecting,
You know? Yeah.
So now it's kind of like, okay, I don't need to tell everyone because most people, number one, don't care about me. They don't like love me. So if you choose to love me, then you get to know, you know, a little bit more about me.
We don't have to like fillet ourselves open just because. And I think that can backtrack an honoring of the progress that we've made.
It almost became like a form of people pleasing because I was like, I want you to know my heart behind this awful thing that you might have heard about me so that you still think I'm a good person, you know? Mm-hmm. Where it's like now it's like, no, I just... If you care to learn about me, then you can come to me and ask me, and I'll tell you. You know, I'm not afraid. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's kind of where I've landed.
Yeah, I like that open, honest share. And there have been definitely times when I can relate. I think, you know, in some ways, definitely when I was younger, a lot more oversharing as an attempt to like... Now you can understand why I am the way I am. Yeah. I don't know, right? Like, and that doesn't need to be a part of the equation.
Right.
Just feeling too much or not enough. I feel as though we can vacillate between that. And then where do we feel just content? How do we feel content? And there's so many people who kind of dance between the dichotomy also of like superiority and inferiority. Mm. And I want to read a little story. I'll just do it now. I just started this book, Freedom Medicine Words for Your Brave Revolution by Jaya John. And just the beginning page is really powerful in speaking to that same dichotomy of supremacy and inferiority. And I bought some new poetry books so that I'm not reading from the same five. So people should be real excited. You don't even know what's going to hit you.
Yay!
All right. Origin story. The tale of the supremacy inferiority virus. The ancient ones tell of a legend. In the beginning, two spirits roamed every soul. One was love, the other fear. Fear, being restless and unsettled, mutated into two other spirits, supremacy and inferiority. Both of these would inhabit every human soul in space forever, waiting to be fed. This is the love story of our freedom from supremacy and inferiority, freedom from oppression, our freedom to live a beautiful life. Supremacy and inferiority are identical twins posing as opposites. They were conceived in the same womb of fear, suckled from the same breast and of the same milk, walk now in the same world, are sustained by the same atmosphere of fear. Touch one and you touch the other. Mend one and you purify the other. Learn how they live and die together. Be a student of their ways. If you know them, you can find them. Where you find them, you can heal their hollow hum. And I think that this is really powerful because we can feel so stuck in one of those modes without being able to shed light on maybe the ways that other people might also be stuck or to normalize that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, to feel like a bouncing back and forth at times between superiority and inferiority or being too much and not enough.
Mm.
I don't know. Did any of that?
Yeah, I'm just trying to wrap my mind around that dichotomy of inferiority, superiority, because I've never really like investigated that about myself, really. But I don't know, your personal experience, do you find yourself like, I mean, because I feel like to feel inferior or superior, like what would you gauge that against? Like what's the measuring tool?
Oh, I think that's everyone personally, you know, that's each personal person. Like the things that I would feel and some inferiority by are going to be completely different than the things that you might feel that.
Yeah. But it's kind of, would you say it's like measured against other people? Like,
I think it's from comparison.
Okay.
And the fear. So the antidote to either has been love, like love for the part of yourself that feels whatever way. And like to find authenticity is to like love that part of yourself that you view as ugly or broken or unworthy.
Yeah.
And that's a hard practice. I think there's so many people who've never really known what it means to really love and accept themselves. And that doesn't mean selfish. Like too often I think we hear self-love and we think selfish.
Right.
No, like selfishness is superiority. That's different than self-love.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's 'cause like I feel like the one of the most toxic self-talks you can give is comparing yourself to others, and if you arrive either superior or inferior, you're missing the mark completely, because in order to arrive at either of those, you have to be comparing yourself to others. But yeah, like in my personal experience, it's like you just have to like learn your value and your worth, and it's not really compared against other people.
I think you have to live your value.
Yeah. Yeah. So then like,
it's not just me saying like, this is my value and why doesn't anyone see it? That would be coming from superiority.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's
kind of, the relationship with myself. It has nothing to do with other people or the way that they treat me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, because it's like I would put myself in situations and relationships that I'm not being considered, or, you know, like I'm being treated as less than I'm worth. And so then there would be like anxiety and tension. And so I realized that there's kind of like an objective like value to each person. And like, if you think you're worth more than that, then yeah, that's superiority. If you think you're worth less than that, then that's inferior. But you have to really like be honest with yourself and do a lot of introspection.
And I think that those interactions with people, these are lessons that I'm re-remembering, because we can fall into relapse and need those reminders. But anytime that happens, think about like, what is this stirring within me? What part of me have I not loved? What part of me do I have self-judgment for?
Yeah.
Or is, you know, being triggered by that? And I've really been considering that in certain, like sometimes interpersonal conflicts that I've been going through or that I've navigating, or questioning, why is it that that person like brings up this response for me or this internal feeling?
Yeah.
And wondering, well, do I have a self-judgment about myself maybe around that? And then doing some healing work, because authenticity is all about the relationship really that we have with ourselves. And then we can, when we give more love to that part, it's so much easier to give love to the people that we feel those triggers around.
Yeah.
It melts away the superiority and the inferiority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I would say my own struggle most of my life was inferiority.
Yeah. Same.
Because like I would allow people to treat me as less than, and I like believed that I was less than. So then, yeah, after a while I was kind of, I realized recently, like, yeah, my heart doesn't, it's like it has an allergic reaction to being treated as less than. And I had to really talk myself into, I kept saying the phrase over and over, like, I deserve to be loved. Like, I'm worthy of love, you know?
But does James love James?
Yeah. Well, I had to get there.
Yeah.
I had to bet on myself, you know? And, Yeah, so like now I'm in a season where it's kind of like, because I believe that things are starting to kind of come into my life that agree with that narrative. Yeah.
Yeah, it can be hard to like self just acceptance of those different parts, those unhealed parts, the part that might feel inferior or superior. That's a really tricky spot. And then what do we do once we get to that?
Yeah.
And let's talk through it, because I want to pull in some of the people that have been huge inspirations to me and who we mentioned on the podcast before. But
okay.
Gabor Mate would say that the importance of finding this path of authenticity is also a path to psychological personal health, personal growth, and even physical health. That these are ways that we can understand our emotional pain and our trauma and reconnect with our authentic self. Because we all have those seeds within us. But we can put so much baggage on top of that soil that how will the seed ever sprout?
Yeah.
So this deep understanding of then living within one's values is the next step. And Brené Brown would say that these principles would be the way that you might advocate for authenticity and cultivating courage and taking risks. Embracing the uncomfortable is all under that cultivation of courage and embracing vulnerability despite the fears or judgments or rejections that might come.
Yeah.
And trying to be vulnerable enough to find like where you, the birthplace of creativity for you, and reconnecting with that and in connection with others and meaningful relationships, which is so intertwined into what we're doing here. And that's so beautiful. And practicing wholeheartedness and self-compassion and letting go of the need for approval and perfectionism being a part of that. And honoring boundaries and living in alignment with our values and in embracing imperfection. And I'm not going to lie, it's been, I feel like maybe I mentioned it last Wednesday, I'm not sure, but it's been a really profound kind of, it's been a profound season of healing for me. And some of that healing, like healing is also hard. Like some of that has been humbling, very humbling.
Yeah.
And I've looked at some past versions of myself with harsh judgment. And the lesson, like I want to be able to find the lesson without sitting in shame soup.
Yeah.
And a really lovely friend, Caroline, sent me this Hawaiian prayer, which I'm going to butcher, like despite having a Hawaiian first name, I am not Hawaiian. So let me like focus. Ho opono no po no.
Let me see. Ho opono no. Ho. Okay. Ho
opono opono opono.
Yeah. What? Okay. I'm not Hawaii. Weird language is weird.
I mean, I'm
ho'opono,
sure.
Ho'opono no pono. That's probably, yeah. You got to say it with a Hawaiian accent.
Ho'opono no pono.
But see, the O is not a full O sound. You got to go, oh. Ho'opono.
Ho'opono no pono. I'm sorry, anyone who's actually Hawaiian, my name is a cultural appropriation of your culture, and I don't know how to say this word.
If you played Hawaiian words in Wheel of Fortune, and like you would go bankrupt buying vowels.
Yeah, that's true.
Because there's so many. So
this word is all, it's so many vowels.
Like that's, you know, that's why I probably just said
it. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. I'm sure I'm butchering it. But, you know, I know that I look like I should be, you know, ethnic enough to know. But I'm a Midwestern girl at heart. I grew up on a farm. I don't know how to say words.
You were born in Alaska, though. And according to every map in elementary school, Alaska's right by Hawaii. Right? It's right in the middle of the Pacific.
Yeah, it's balmy and tropical.
It's small. Yeah.
Isn't it? It's really small.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So many confused children out there. They don't understand.
Yeah.
But it's so simple. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And I love you. And I realized that this was something that I really needed to say to myself because there were moments where I had abandoned my values or forgotten them. And that isn't the way that I want to be walking in this world. Now, I don't think that that's uncommon. I think that there's a lot of people sleepwalking and doing that on a regular basis unconsciously, but I'm really in the pursuit of being conscious of my actions, and I fumbled, I relapsed. And so I wanted to take personal responsibility for that and to try to do it with some love and compassion. I think so often these are things that we need to pause and practice, because when we don't and we just skip over it, usually we just find ourselves being defensive.
Yeah.
And like the wall comes up because we're not willing to see our part. And sometimes that needs to be like actually cleared up in conversation with someone. And there have been moments in the last, in this season where I've done that. And then there's been moments when I've also had to realize that might not even be appreciated and received that in that way. And I have to do it in my own kind of sacred ceremony of sorts to clear the air within myself.
Yeah.
So I thought that in the pursuit of authenticity, it was something that I wanted to share with others as we continue talking about how we take steps forward.
Yeah.
An activity I had you do a while ago was to identify the values that you have, and we created, you
know, my mission statement.
And those are like things like reviewing back and asking yourself, like, did I act in accordance to that? Or even like on a weekly basis or even a daily basis, kind of coming back to it and reviewing, did I act within that? Did I align myself within that mission statement?
Should we see?
Yeah. And okay. It's good to review it. It can change.
I feel like I did. I feel like I've definitely, but let me just, I got to find it. But you had me do an activity today.
I did.
Brene Brown created.
Today I had you do the Wholehearted Inventory on Brene Brown's website. You can just search Wholehearted Inventory Brene Brown. And I would encourage, anyone listening to take a pause in your day and do it. I would say it took less than 10 minutes.
I found it.
You found it.
It took about 10 minutes. It was long.
About 10 minutes. But it will give you some good guidance maybe on the areas where you're doing really well and the areas where maybe there's room for growth.
Okay, so I'm going to read my mission statement. And then are we going to like review that activity that you had me do or something?
No, not necessarily. If you want me to, we can, but it doesn't have to be.
Well, I was reading it, and I was like, what was the point of this?
Well, we might weave it in, but okay. Let
me check in with my mission statement. So, yeah, Kehlani had written, or she had me read this like list of words, like 100 words. Yeah.
I had you do it for team building.
Yeah.
I'll do mine, too.
Okay. And I chose 8 words. I was only supposed to choose 5, but 8 resonated with me. So then Kehlani took those words and wrote this. She said, okay, so the words I chose were adventure, authenticity, creativity, curiosity, fun, humor, self-expression, and love. And then she wrote, I allow myself to live authentically and creatively. I will put my energy towards bringing more fun and humor to the world through my self-expression. By following this path, it will become a vessel towards more adventure and a love of life. I would say that I 100% have been living in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say so too. I think that you've leaned in.
Yeah. So that's exciting.
That is exciting. That should feel really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
And, you know, there's not any person on this earth who has lived in complete alignment with their values.
Yeah.
And that's something that we should all be really honest with.
Yeah.
And we should say thank you to that version of us that messed up.
Yeah.
To be quite honest.
Because you learned.
You learned. And that's what we're here for. This is life school. We're learning.
Right.
This is not be perfect. Mm-hmm. This isn't prove to everyone you're the best person.
Yeah.
any and through any religious context or otherwise. Mm-hmm. And to have enough humility to just say, like, yeah, thank you. Like, you were behaving in some unloving ways, but you were trying. I can see that you were trying.
Yeah.
You missed the mark in some ways, but thank you for trying. And I needed that step in order to get here.
Yeah. And I mean, it is a lot easier to be thankful when you're kind of at when you're past it.
Because oh, for sure.
When you're going through those brutal lessons, man, that's most, I would say everyone considers quitting. Mm-hmm. You know, I certainly did. And but now I'm kind of like, no, I love this version of myself, you know, and I'm excited for what life is looking like. I'm yeah. like, I'm excited to wake up now. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't say that, you know, just a few months ago. Mm. And so, yeah, it's like a beautiful mess, you know, because I say like the greatest art is turning chaos into beauty. You know, and yeah, like delightfully dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's what I, so like our life really is like a work of art, yeah. You know, because it's turning that messiness, that chaos into something beautiful. And when you take a step back and yeah, look at the whole picture, then you go, wow, that was beautiful. You know.
It's the constant ebb and flow of yeah. that. It's never like, will never be that we've fully arrived. And can we embrace that? Can we embrace that there's more lessons to be found?
Yeah.
And to realize it gets easier and easier. Like you said, like it in the moment of despair, it's going to be difficult to be like, yeah, thanks for this. Right. Yeah. That's what it'll sound like.
But then, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just, there's, when you can realize that it's clearing you out for the next delight, that you need to have like a death and a rebirth.
Yeah.
Like, yes, death is painful. It is an ending, but it is also allowing you to break free from the cocoon mm-hmm. that sometimes you've enslaved yourself within.
Yeah.
And what else would do it than for things to be hard enough to bust through?
Right. Yeah, I was having a pep talk with somebody yesterday, similar topic, and it was all about this person was like afraid of what the future looks mm-hmm. like, and I said, well, I mean, we've made it. I was telling her about like my experience, and I was like, you know, things got real bad, and I was like down to rock bottom, but I'm here. I'm mm-hmm. still here. And I gained a resilience to where now as I navigate through life, I'm not afraid to like take chances and mm-hmm. I'm not afraid of what could possibly go wrong because I've been through what went wrong and I was okay, you know? So it's kind of like, that is such a, like a silver lining of the shittiness of life is that you're a lot tougher than you think you are.
You've survived yeah. every bad day.
Yeah, exactly.
You survived it.
So it's like, give yourself a high five. Yeah. You're a badass.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you're still here. Life is,
yeah.
is, you know, it's not always sunshine and rainbows. In fact, it's not meant to be. And anyone who's like, has that idea or that expectation, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
And anyone who's portraying that on social media, it's, you're not getting the full version of it. And
right.
it's not their job to fillet themselves for the public as yeah. we do. That's our calling. It doesn't need to be everyone's calling. But I think another way to continue cultivating that humility is to understand that that's what other people are going through too. Like, you don't know what phase of someone else's growth or path towards authenticity that they're in.
Yeah.
You might bump into people that aren't there yet, and you have to honor that they're on their own path, mm-hmm. even if those actions are painful.
Yeah. 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 I love authentic people also. Mm. And like when people give a glimpse into their struggles.
Yeah, it's interesting too when you kind of graduate out of hustle culture or comparison culture or image-based culture, it's interesting to just have a very different take when you see people still stuck in that.
Yeah.
And I just send them love.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was a trap that we've all been stuck in at some point.
Yeah.
And what else can you do? So it eliminates then the need for any of the superiority or inferiority that otherwise might come up.
Yeah.
Can you allow there to be some love?
Yeah, I think that my angle is that when I see people stuck in performance culture, I give them a lot of like sympathy. Mm-hmm. I mean, almost pity, and that's the superiority thing to say. Mm-hmm. But I'm just being honest. But like, because I think I used to be there, mm-hmm. and I know how empty that was, and I know that the way that I came out of that was that it was a complete tear down, destruction, you know, demolition. And I really wish that you know that the inauthentic people won't have to go through that. I just wish that they were just like a little braver and, you know, would lean into their authenticity and not care about performing. So like, that's kind of the pity. It's like, man, if only you could just understand the beauty that life has to offer without having to go through the destruction, you know?
But I think it's necessary.
Yeah.
And like, I hope in this lifetime they find it, really, because I know a number of people who are, you know, in their 60s, 70s, 80s and up who maybe haven't gotten there.
Yeah.
And that's something to mourn. That's something that does make me sad. And that brings us back to the episode we did when it comes to the regrets of the dying.
Yeah.
So much, too, of finding your authenticity is in allowing yourself to do things that truly make you happy and have nothing to do with superiority, have nothing to do with having the best boat or car or vacation and none of that. Like, all of that is just things, and like, experiences are beautiful. Like, yes, like, sign me up for a trip somewhere. Like, that sounds great. But to really say, I love every iteration of myself, past, present, and future. I'm excited to get to know the next version after this one is demolished and I rebuild. To get excited to be able to love myself and others better. Like, you really can't love others to the best of your ability if you don't love yourself.
Yeah.
I know that's said, but I feel it.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Being authentic is like an honoring of yourself.
Yeah.
And so like, living that out, it's almost like liberating and, yeah, when you do things that make you happy, capital U, you know, like, you've not been making you happy, you're making everybody else happy. So like, if you pause and do something that makes you happy for once, like, the only real way you can get there is like by meeting yourself, you know, and honoring yourself.
And I've been trapped in that inferiority complex for far too long as well. Mm-hmm. But even on the flip side, when it comes to like, feeling more superior, I think that the trap is then of feeling as though the world owes me something, or that people like, need to make this path easier for me.
Yeah, like, you want to talk to the manager. Do things
for me. Yeah, and that's equally as trapping, if not more so.
Yeah. Yeah, so what's this this thing you just pulled out?
We're gonna do that later. But these are two poems that are mirrored that I'm gonna read. They're pretty short. This is Young Pueblo, The Way Forward, one of my new books, and I just like, flipped it open right before we started. I thought it was fitting. You have to be willing to admit when you have lost your way. It is normal to lose sight of what's important, to stumble and take a few steps backward. A long journey is never a straight line. Gently telling yourself the hard truth is the best method for realignment and getting back on the right path. Intention is one of the most powerful forces in the universe. It sets action into motion and gives them a direction. Words get their energy from the intention we place into them. If you want to reclaim your power, start by being intentional. I think our mental conversation we can have in our head when we fumble is, what were you doing? Or why are you like that?
Yeah.
And it comes out critical. It's a statement, not a question.
Yeah.
It's a criticism and a shame. It's drenched in shame.
Yeah.
And that keeps us more stuck. So be careful of the tone and the energy and the intention, even between the conversations in your head with yourself. And could it be instead, yeah, why did we do that? Can we understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Could we be more curious as to why that happened? What hurt got bumped there? What situation caused that reaction? How could we do that differently? How can we start to give ourselves that compassion as we unpack and explore why we are the way we are, why we do the things we do?
Yeah.
To align more intentionally with our values towards authenticity. And that's what I got for you today.
Oh. Wait, since I opened, should I close? No.
Can you do it? No.
I don't feel confident. Okay. And there's no camera on my face.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Delightfully Dysfunctional, where we, you know, discussed a little bit more about what it means to really be authentic. And I hope that you found some strategies and some resources that might help you along that path. We're so happy that you're here, Delightful Human. And if you haven't checked out some of our other content on YouTube, please do so. We've got all kinds of tasty treats over there and have been doing some really fun therapist reaction videos to some powerful, powerful music. Please like, subscribe, and share with a friend, because it would just mean the world to us. Making this impact and this connection with you, it has been oh so delightful. Thank you, and we'll see you in the next one.
Bye.